woken up from a dream and knew God was speaking to you, but you didn't understand what he was saying to you. Pastor Gary Fishman has published a dream manual that guides you through interpreting your dreams with biblical clarity. It is impossible to read the Bible and not see that God speaks through dreams. Throughout Scripture, the Lord uses these visions of the night to communicate to us. The purpose of this manual is to equip you in the area of dream interpretation so God's messages to you will not fall by the wayside. To download your free excerpt of Dream Interpretation, the New and Revised Edition, a beginner's manual and dictionary, visit www.surpassingglory.org. That's www.surpassingglory.org. Or purchase a Kindle or paperback edition by searching for Gary Fishman on Amazon.com.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang. Thank you for listening. Well, today we're going to talk about the supernatural. And no, this isn't Sid Roth's TV show by the same name, but my guest today is Mike Shreve, a longtime friend and one of our authors. So welcome to you. And I'm just intrigued, as are my listeners, about the supernatural. You know, we live in a supernatural world and in a culture that doesn't really acknowledge it. So tell us about the supernatural.
Well, to begin with, my salvation was supernaturally orchestrated. I was a teacher of yoga and meditation at four universities down in Tampa, Florida, and running a yoga ashram. And the Tampa Tribune newspaper did a big article on me that I thought would increase my class attendance. Instead, it alerted a local prayer group that began praying for me on a continuing basis. They had a 24-hour prayer chain. They were lifting me up to God every hour of every day. So I'm being soaked with intercession. And then God orchestrated supernaturally some events that wove together in an amazing way. I got a letter from an old friend telling me that he had been born again, and I was pondering that, and so I prayed all day long that if Jesus really was the only way, he would show me that day. And that afternoon, I was hitchhiking to go teach at University of South Florida. One of the members of the prayer group was 2 miles away walking in a laundromat, and he's got an arm full of dirty clothes, and the Holy Spirit says, get back in your van and start driving. And so he took off driving, not knowing where he was going. Whenever he felt a supernatural tug at his heart, an impulse, an impression, he would turn. And he drove 2 miles and saw me hitchhiking there, did not know it was the man he'd been praying for about a month, and pulled the van over, and I opened the door and looked in, and there was a picture of Jesus on the ceiling, and I knew it was my answer. So I was waiting on the edge of my seat, and a few moments later, he said, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. He said, have you ever experienced Jesus coming into your heart? I said, no, but when can I? I'm ready. And so we knelt down in the back of the van. I gave my heart to the Lord. But for one member of a 25-member prayer group to be at the same place at the same time within about a 5-minute window of time after a month of praying for me, the odds of that happening would not only go through the roof, but go through the universe.
And then during your ministry, you've seen a lot of supernatural things. I heard that you even were hit by lightning once, and some things happened with your family. Tell us about that.
Well, I was in a tent meeting east of Charlotte a number of years ago when Hurricane Hugo came up the coast. You might remember that. And it spawned a lot of other storms in the area. And I was a tent minister. We carried a tent around the country from one city to the other. And I told the people, I said, we're not going to be intimidated by the weather. We're still going to have church. And we just doubled down on the stakes and bought telephone poles and wrapped chains around the telephone poles and laid them inside the stakes. And I mean, the only way the tent was going to move was if it absolutely blew to shreds. Well, I was standing closer to one of the main center poles of the tent than anyone else. And the wind was blowing furiously that night. The tent was ballooning up. It was almost humorous to watch because the quarter poles were swinging back and forth and people were dodging the poles to stay attentive to my message. And then all of a sudden, bam, lightning hit the center pole of the tent. I was the closest thing to that pole. It jumped off the pole and hit the microphone in my hand, which had a wire all the way to the PA system, and so it was attracted to that. It knocked the microphone 25 feet away, and then the lightning went through my body. And to this day, I have people say, "Brother Shreve, I was there the night you lit up in the pulpit." But actually, it stunned me, and for a few seconds, I had no idea who I was, where I was, or what just happened. And then my thoughts started coming back to me, even the theme of the message I was preaching on, so I took back up preaching. Well, this is where the supernatural kicks in, because there was a pastor's daughter there that had serious, severe scoliosis of the spine, so bent, and her vertebrae were so twisted, you could see the twist of her spine bulging through her blouse. And she ran up to me, and she also had one leg an inch and a half shorter than the other and had to wear an elevator shoe. And she ran up wide-eyed, and she said, "Preacher, if you can endure a lightning blast, you can pray the prayer of faith for me." I felt like saying, "Young lady, I am the one in need of prayer right now." But I reached out and laid hands on her, and Steve, it was the most powerful move of the power of God gripping a person I think I've ever seen. It shook her from one end of the tent to the other, and when she came out from under the anointing, every vertebrae in her back was straight, and her leg had grown out an inch and a half in an undeniable way. Because sometimes people will pray for someone with a quote-unquote shorter leg, and you don't really know if it happened. Well, she couldn't walk on her shoes after she got her healing because it would tip her over, so she had to walk barefoot to her car. It was one of those moments where I was barely cognizant of what was going on, and the supernatural power of God just flowed through me. Anyway.
This is so exciting. Tell us the story you told me earlier about your father.
Oh, my mother was one of my first converts. She was easy to win. My father was a military man, and he just did not like his son telling him what he needed to believe religiously. And so I was overzealous, and he was uninterested. So it created somewhat of a breach. He was a moral man, a good man, honest man, ex-military man. But finally, after 12 years of praying and fasting for him, one night, about 11 o'clock at night, I got a phone call. I received a phone call from my father, and he said, "Mike, you won't believe what happened to me today." I said, "Well, what happened, Dad?" He said, "I've had this neck condition where for 7 days, one of the vertebrae in my neck was slipped, and my head was tilted and locked in a bowed position." And he said, "I checked into the hospital, and the remote for the TV didn't work. So I'm laying there in the bed with my head bowed." He said, "I figured I'm already in the right position. I might as well pray." I said, "Subtle hint from heaven, Dad." And he said, "You won't believe what happened." I said, "Oh, yes, I will." He said, "I decided I was going to thank God for every good thing God had ever done in my life." And it took him 2 hours. Now, he's never been born again, doesn't know anything about it. But he spends 2 hours going back through his life and thanking God for every blessing, every benefit, every good thing that had ever come his way. And then he said, "Mike, I ran out of things to thank God for, so I began praising God just because he's God." I said, "Dad, that's a principle, that you enter God's gates with thanksgiving, you enter his courts with praise." He said, "Then it happened." And my father was an extremely honest man to the max, and so he would have never fabricated a story. But he said, while he was praising God, a golden light came into the hospital room. The face of Jesus appeared in the light, battered and bleeding and crowned with thorns. And then the golden light turned to a crimson color, and waves of red light began pouring over him. And he knew he was being bathed in the blood of Jesus and born again. And all he could do was weep about it for a month. And what that taught me, Steve, was the power of thanking God. Most people, when they pray problems. They tell God how bad the problems are in their life. But my father's laying there with a messed up neck and doesn't even mention the neck. He just spends 2 hours thanking God. And heaven comes down to earth in the process. There is such a power in expressing gratitude.
That is so exciting. And to think that you live in the supernatural, you know, not just once in a while, not just many years ago, but all the time. And isn't that the way that all Christians should live? Shouldn't we be walking in the supernatural? Shouldn't we be seeing these kinds of things happen in our own lives? I think you agree with that. And tell my listeners and me how we can walk in the supernatural, how we can believe God in a way that we don't know.
Well, I think there are definitely a couple of keys. And one of them is to maintain a time of intimacy with God as consistently as you can on a daily basis. Because then you set yourself up for the miraculous as he takes you through your day. And I know this sounds extreme to some people, but I even try to sense in my spirit what gas station I should go to when I need gas in my car. Because I'm constantly winning Hindu people to the Lord in gas stations. And usually that's the way God sets me up, because he has this network of spiritual plots and plans that I believe we can fit into if we're sensitive enough to it. In fact, if I've got time to tell a story about something that happened in India, I was in Bombay, India, a number of years ago, and Bombay is the black hole of human suffering, unbelievable misery and homelessness. And I was in Bombay Airport awaiting my flight to come back to the U.S. And for one reason or another, we had a 14-hour layover. And so the particular airline I was with had a policy that if you had over an 8-hour layover, they would put you up in a 5-star hotel. And at that time, I'd never been around luxury like that. And so I thought, oh, this is God. I've been out in the bush, out in the jungles for a month eating beans and rice. So now he's rewarding me with this nice place to stay. So they shuttled us over there to this big fancy hotel. And the first thing I noticed was this really, really nice restaurant. And they were advertising steak and lobster was the special dish that night. I thought, this has got to be God. And I started walking through the entrance to the restaurant. And the voice of the Lord spoke to me. And God said, don't go in there. I've got a job for you to do out on the street, which sounded ridiculous. But I had enough of a walk with God developed through prayer, through consistency, through having an ear. He said, incline your ear unto me. And I think that's something we have to do. You have to have an ear to hear God's leading in unexpected moments. Anyway, I said, okay, Lord, whatever you want. A little disappointed. But I walked outside and started walking down the street thinking, I don't have an interpreter. The people in this area speak Hindi. What can I do? And all of a sudden, as I began to pray, I prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord. I claim the kingdom manifesting on the street. I claim the supernatural power of God released. All of a sudden, this waiter, about 4'10", runs up to me out of this fancy restaurant next to the hotel. And in a high-pitched voice, he says, what is your name? I said, my name is Mike Shreve. He said, Mike Shreve, that sounds like a Christian name. By any chance, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am a Christian. He said, by any chance, are you a Pentecostal preacher? I said, I am a Pentecostal preacher. He said, good, there's a man needs to get saved right now. Come quickly, come quickly. He had been witnessing to his boss for 2 years. And his boss thought he was crazy. And that night, his boss came into work and said, I don't know why, but tonight on the way to work, I just came to the conclusion, you're right, and I want what you have. And so his boss sat with me for 2 hours behind his restaurant. We discussed salvation. He got saved. He gave his heart to the Lord. Then on the way back to his restaurant, he said, when we get back to my restaurant, I'm going to turn all the lights down, and I'm going to lock the door and close the shutters. I said, okay. What after that? What next? He said, then I'm going to call all my cooks and waiters out, and I want you to tell them what you just told me. I said, what religions do you have represented? He said, I've got a Hindu, I've got a Buddhist, I've got a Muslim, I've got a Jainist, I've got a Catholic. He mentioned about 7 different religions. He interpreted for me because they couldn't all speak English. I preached an hour. He interpreted it. I gave an invitation. Every cook, every waiter in the restaurant got saved, and by the time we finished, almost all of them had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And then the shuttle came and picked me up to take me to the airport. I love living that way.
You know, you couldn't make up those kinds of stories.
No, you can't.
You know, if it was in a novel, somebody would say, you know, this is really far out. Yet it happened to you. So as we wrap up, there are a couple things. Tell my listeners a couple of the books you've written, the names of them, and how people can connect with your ministry if they're interested.
Well, the first book that I did with Charisma is called 65 Promises from God for Your Child, We get testimonies all the time in our office about how effective it is to pray those promises. Most people pray problems and tell God how bad the problems are. And those are 65 specific promises God has given for our children if we're in a relationship with Him. And one lady got a hold of that book very shortly and had three children, all of them drug addicts, two of them pushers. She started praying the promises over them. Within a month, all three were saved. The two sons got out of jail early and ended up in Bible college. Phenomenal. That was the first book. The second book is called Powerful Prayers for Supernatural Results. And I spent about a year studying the prayers of the Bible and decided on the 10 most powerful prayers that drew the greatest supernatural response from God, and then broke it down into line by line how they approach God. And if we use a similar approach, then it should affect our prayer life as well. And then finally, the latest book I did for you is the one called Who Am I? And it's dynamic declarations of who we are in Christ. And it's a message I'm very passionate about. It's 52 names and titles that God has given His people. Many Christians study the names and titles of God, and it's a very revelatory subject, but very few know how to find out who we are. And if we discover our names, like the apple of God's eye, the anointed, the church, the bride of Christ, heirs of God, more than conquerors, there's over 1,000 names that belong to us. But 52 of the most important ones are highlighted in Who Am I? So those are the three books that I have been very blessed and honored to have published through Charisma House. And I'm thankful that you've allowed me to be one of your authors. And what a blessing. And people can get in touch with me at shreveministries.org. Shreve, S-H-R-E-V-E, ministries.org.
Well, thank you, Mike Shree, for being with me. Thank you for your friendship over all these years. Thank you for the books that you've written for us. It's an honor to be your publisher. And thank you to my listeners for listening today to The Strang Report here on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Steve Strang.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.